All right, well, we're going to get into God's Word. So you can take your Bibles tonight and go to 3 John, verse 2. The book of 3 John, verse 2. Tonight I want to share on how God will meet your needs. God will meet your needs. And in 3 John, verse 2, it says, "Beloved," that's you and me, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So when we start to think about how God will meet our needs, the first thing we want to know is that it's God's desire for us to be prosperous and to be healthy, right? God, that's something that God wants for our lives, right? And what is true prosperity? A few teachings ago, we looked at the fact that it's a spiritual thing, right? It's a spiritual thing, true prosperity. But it also has fruit or manifestation in the physical realm. You know, the word riches is used 22 times in the church epistles. So the stuff that's directly addressed to you and me, the word riches is used 22 times. And not once is it used for a primarily physical thing. It's always used for something sort of in the spiritual realm, right? And most of them are used in relation to the mystery, right? As what we have is one body, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that it's Christ in us. That's what God considers true riches, right? That's what true prosperity is. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Right? So we learned how God's definition for things is very different from the world's definitions. And that includes riches and prosperity. But God also wants to make sure that our needs are met. In Proverbs 3, verse 13, it says, "Happy is the man that has a lot of cool things, that goes on awesome vacations, that eats really good meals all the time." No. It says, "Happy is the man that finds" what? Wisdom. "And the man that getteth understanding." Right? So God tells us, God created us, right? He actually made us. He designed us. He knows us. And what he wrote to us is that we're going to be happy if we find wisdom. So if the being that designed us tells us how to be happy, that's something we should pay attention to. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." So what you get out of wisdom and understanding is better than silver and fine gold. "She is more," verse 15, "she is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou can desire are not to be" what? "Compared to her." All the things that we can dream up, right? Or that the world tells us are valuable, are not even worth comparing to God's wisdom. Right? That's the way that he sort of values his word and his wisdom. Is like, you think of the craziest thing you can even dream of having. Right? Like, I want a 50-bedroom mansion on the edge of a gorgeous cliff with beach access and helicopters. And God's like, that doesn't even compare to what's available through God's word. Verse 16. "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Oh, so there you go. You know, the good stuff, riches and honor, some of the things that people might dream up of, they're available. God doesn't want to withhold those things. Length of days, a long life. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. Right? So riches, honor, long life, peace, happiness, all of that originates from a wisdom and understanding concerning God's word, right? That's real prosperity. So when God says he wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health, this is the kind of stuff he's really talking about, right? Not what the world considers prosperity, but what God says is prosperity. And in chapter 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. The word principal there is most important. Wisdom is the most important thing. Therefore, get it. This is the most important thing. Therefore, get it. Right? It's real simple. Wisdom is the most important thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Right? So God tells us, get wisdom. It's the most important thing. If you're going to look for something valuable, God says it's wisdom, the most important thing. And that should be our attitude and our mindset, right? When we're looking to have things in our life, when we're looking to have things that the world would consider prosperous, right? That should be our mindset, is get wisdom, right? Put God first, right? Right? A car should be a way for you to get to fellowship and hear God's word. Right? A house should be a place where you can comfortably study God's word and teach it to your kids. Right? Money should be a tool that you use to move God's word. Like, God wants you to have these nice things, but it's important that your heart is where it needs to be regarding it, right? God wants us to seek after wisdom. Go to Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. So it's important to have that sort of foundation to understand what true prosperity is, what God really wants for our lives, what he wants us to seek. Because in Philippians 4:19 it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all, not some of it, not a little bit of it, not 90% of it, but all your need according to his riches. So he has the resources to do it, right? God can supply all of our need because he has the resources to do it. Right? But the thing that we have to remember is, who gets to define what a need is? Do you get to define what a need is? Or does God get to define what a need is? Yeah. That's right. God does. You can say, I need a 40-foot gold giraffe in my front yard, but that's not what God believes is a need, right? So we have to remember that God is going to supply all of our need according to what his resources, his riches and glory. But he gets to decide what that is. The world tries to get you to buy stuff that you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't know, right? That's what it's all about, you know? Half of the internet is now just people taking pictures of themselves trying to look good for you, And they don't even know who you are. They got a billion people that follow them, and they don't know a single, well, they probably know one of them. But they don't know most of them, right? It's literally a job to be an influencer, right? To take pictures of yourself and to get other people to buy stuff that you're promoting, right? That's what the world tries to get you to do. But God says he will supply all of our need. Go to Luke chapter 12. And the world wants you to think you need all of this stuff. Because the more stuff, the more things, and they don't have to be actual physical, I can pick them up things, they can be abstract things, but the more stuff you need in your life, right, the more you're distracted from God and his word. Right? Because that need will drive you to do stuff to satisfy that need. And if you're doing that, it's likely taking away your focus and your time from God. So the world wants to distract you with that stuff. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. This is Jesus Christ teaching them. And he said unto them, take heed, beware! Look out, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he what? Possesses. The abundance of the things that we possess is not what God considers a need. It's not what matters to God. And Jesus Christ taught his disciples to watch out for that, right? Covetousness means like wanting more. I need this. I need that. Right? That's covetousness. But Jesus Christ said, watch out for that because that's not what life's about. A person's life is not defined by all the stuff that they have. Right? The bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys wins, is not true. That's not what life is about. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried about your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Right? Don't get all wrapped up and worried about those things. Verse 30, why? For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you have need of these things. Right? God designed us. He made us. Formulated and created us. He knows what we need at a base level, right? He knows that we need food. He knows that we need shelter and clothing to survive. He knows you need these things. Verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Right? The principal thing is wisdom. Go get it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be what? Added unto you. So is God going to supply those needs? Yes, he is. Seek him first and all those things will get added to you. God will add them to you. You don't have to seek after those things. Right? God makes it easy. Seek after him and he'll take care of the rest of it. Seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Right? That's what God wants to do. He wants to take care of you. He wants to provide for you. Right? We need food to eat. We need clothes to wear. We need shelter to live in. But don't make these things your focus. Make God your focus and trust that he will take care of it. Trust that he will take care of it. The root word for the word need comes from the word to use. Okay, so the root word for the word need is to use. Therefore, for a thing to be a need, it has to be something that you can use, that you can put to use, right? It has to be something that you have a use for and not just to have it, right? Most things that you just have, you don't need, right? So it's great to have a giant Nike shoe collection, but you don't need it. Maybe you need one pair, but the rest of it is just there for you to have it, right? Maybe it blesses you to look at it. That's cool, but it's not a need, right? You got to have a use for it. And out of all the verses that deal with prosperity and riches and all of them, not one of them promises monetary wealth, like a host of riches, like Scrooge McDuck diving through the, you know, pile of gold coins. That's not promised anywhere in God's word, right? It does promise that we'll have our needs met, that we won't be in poverty, but it's not like every believer gets $1 billion. Also, none of the word says, you can have this, but you can't have this, right? God doesn't limit the things that might bless you, right? Because it's all about your heart to God. Seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God. Get wisdom. It's the most important thing, right? It's about our heart, right? God gives resources to those that want to do his word. Right? That put him first. That want to use those resources in a godly way. Right? He's happy to bless his people with all kinds of cool stuff. But where's the heart at? Right? That's what's important to God. Go to Exodus 16. Exodus 16, verse 13. Exodus 16, 13. And the cool thing is that God is an individual God. And the cool thing is that we're all members of the body in particular. We're all unique. We're all, God understands that we're all different and we're all special. Right? What you need is different from what I need outside of our most basic needs. Right? God talks about, you know, food and clothing and shelter. Like, everybody needs that stuff. But outside of those things, people need different things. And those are needs too, right? And honesty before God about what those needs are is what counts, right? We should pick a lifestyle that allows us to keep God first, right? That's really important. So maybe, you know, there is a certain something to enjoying life, right? God wants us to enjoy life, right? He wants us to be happy. So maybe something that you really need in your life to sort of unwind and relax and be your best for God is different from what I need, right? That's all an individual walk. And God promises to take care of those things, right? Not everybody needs to be married. Do you need a helpmate to function, to be your best for God? Some people do. Some people really need a spouse to be able to, like, function well in the body, to have a partner. Some people don't at all, right? And for that person, it's a need, and for somebody else, it's not, right? Do you need the type of job, right, that it helps you to be your best for God? Sure, right? If you're in a crummy job that's, like, got you down and depressed or working nutty hours where you can't take care of people, then you need a different job, and God will take care of that need, right? He'll provide for it. It's going to vary from believer to believer. So what you need is different from what I need. But again, it's about what's in your heart. It's about not what you need, but why do you need it, right? And if the reason you need it is to be your best for God or to be able to take care of other people, that's what counts. That's what's important. But if you can't lay aside something to walk for God, if that thing becomes too important, then it's a distraction, it's an entanglement. And everybody's different in that regard, right? Some people just get wrapped up in stuff that other people don't give a hoot about, right? And so God's going to take care of everybody's needs individually, right? So the test for needing something is there going to be a godly use for it, right? Because a need needs to have a use in some way or another. And if it doesn't, then it's probably not a need. Doesn't mean you can't have it. God's not saying, like, you can't enjoy this because it's not a need in your life, right? But he's not. It's not a promise that it's going to get supplied to you, right? Doesn't mean it's bad. It's just not a need. And the flip side of that is that religion and the world, and especially the adversary, likes people to believe that truly godly people have to live in, like, lack and poverty, right? That truly godly people give up everything they own and eat crumbs and, you know, drink water all day long and live in a hut so that they can be close to God. And that's not what God wants either, right? Just because you have a relationship with God doesn't mean that you have less in your life. That's exact opposition to what the Word of God says, right? God says that our lives should be more than abundant in every category of life. In every category. It's a deception and a lie that the adversary teaches that in order to be godly, you shouldn't have anything. Right? God wants us to have an abundant life, but it's a balance to not get bogged down. That's what it really means for God to supply all of your need. It's an individual thing. Exodus 16, verse 13. This record kind of illustrates that on a simple level. But this is the children of Israel as they're on their exodus from Egypt. They're making their way to the promised land. It says, "And it came to pass that at even, the quails came up and covered the camp." Right? So he would feed them with quails in the wilderness. "And in the morning, the dew lay around about the host." So in the morning, there was dew everywhere. And verse 14 says, "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground." This is what the Bible, as we'll see in the next verse, calls manna. "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna.'" Manna is like, literally means like, what is it? What's it called? What is this stuff? So they looked at it and they called it, "What is this stuff?" Hey, look, everybody, it's the "what is it" this stuff that's out there. "For they wist," they knew not what it was. "And Moses said unto them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.'" Right? So God was supplying a very basic need here for them, their need to eat. They were out in the wilderness. They were out in the wilderness, and they didn't have an abundance of food to eat. And the interesting thing about this is that it came from the dew. So like when you go out in the morning on a very, it's probably coming up soon, late October, early November morning, you'll find that there's a nice frost across the ground, right? All your grass looks kind of white, and there's a nice little frost because the ground develops the dew and then it kind of freezes into little ice crystals. And that's what this was likened to. That's what the hoarfrost is. It's like a tiny little bit of frost on blades of grass kind of a thing. And so this is how God was providing for them, right? Is this, what is it, this manna stuff, was on, is kind of like out on the ground in the wilderness, like a little bit of a frost. That's what they were to eat. Verse 16. "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded." Here's what you're supposed to do with this crazy stuff. "Gather of it every man according to his" what? "Eating. An omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." Okay? So an omer is a little vessel, about a half gallon in size, give or take. They're not all the same. But that's roughly how big they are. And they were instructed to do something. They were instructed to go out with these vessels and gather the manna. Okay? According, an omer for every person. And it says in verse 17, and the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it, or measure it, with an omer, he that gathered much, some gathered more, had nothing over. He had what he needed. He didn't have this running over amount that he couldn't finish. He had what he needed. And he that gathered little, perhaps his vessel was a little smaller, had no lack. So what he gathered was enough for him too. They gathered every man according to his eating, what he needed. Right? So God gave them instructions, said, go take these vessels out there and go gather. And when they started eating it out of this omer, it was what they needed. It was exactly what they needed. The guy who gathered a lot didn't have this leftover amount at the bottom that he's like, oh, I'm stuffed. And the guy who had a smaller one didn't feel hungry afterwards. It was exactly what that person needed. Right? And every man's need is different. And God supplied it perfectly. And Moses said, verse 19, let no man leave of it till the morning. Right? Don't try to, don't have almost enough to be full and then save it because, you know, we don't know if the frost is going to be there tomorrow. Right? He wanted to make sure, God wanted to make sure, that they learned how to trust him. So don't try to hang on to this stuff for tomorrow. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto, they didn't listen to him. They said, yeah, yeah, sure, Moses. But some of them left of it till the morning. You know, they hung on to it for a little bit because they weren't exactly sure God was going to do it again. And it bred worms and stank. Ugh. And Moses was wroth with them. Not happy. I told you not to save it. Verse 21, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his what?
Eating.
That's exactly right. Every man had what he needed. And when the sun waxed or grew hot, it melted. Okay? And so God set up this pattern for them that every single day he would meet their need, exactly what they needed. And they couldn't take it upon themselves to gather extra for the next day because then it got all stanky and wormy. And he set it up so that they had to go and do something about it. They had to work for it. They had to gather it. If you think about gathering enough stuff off of the ground to fill approximately a half-gallon container, that's not a small job, right? God didn't just provide for their need by saying, put out your omer and when you wake up in the morning, it'll be full of stuff for you, right? That's not what he did. Could he have done it? Yeah, he could have. But he needed to teach them how to rely on him and how to work for what they were getting, right? The children of Israel lived in slavery for many, many, many years, right? They had a slave mentality. And he had to teach them how to trust in him and to be able to work for the stuff that they were getting, right? So they couldn't hang on to it and save it for the next day. They had to rely on God. And if they didn't get up early enough in the morning and get to work, it melted. And then they didn't have it, right? So God made sure that they had to do what they had to do for it, right? They had to learn how to trust God, right? He provided for them supernaturally. Right? He put this stuff out there for them every morning. But they still had to go do their part in a time limit to get it done. Right? It says that God provides for the ravens, right? And the birds of the field are not, you know, or the fowls of the air, are you not much better than they? But he doesn't just drop food in their nests, right? Not like every morning the birds wake up and there's food there. They go out and they get it. Right? But he provides it for them. He takes care of them. He set up a whole ecosystem of life so that they would have what they need. Right? So God promises to supply our needs, but we have to do our part as well. Right? We have to seek after him. We have to get wisdom. We have to make him the priority. That's our part in it, right? And then God will supply our need. So go to Philippians 4:19 again. Right, when you think about the children of Israel, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Or the wilderness. The wilderness for 40 years. That's a long time. Did you know that there's a road from Egypt to the Promised Land? Like an actual road? And it takes like a few weeks to get there? But they didn't take that road. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Because they had to learn how to trust God. They had to learn how to let go of all of that other stuff that, you know, they developed while they were living in slavery. And God taught them how to trust him by taking care of their need. He wants to do that. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise. And your need is different from my need, right? We all have same basic needs. But God promised to supply more than just that, right? Your needs are different from my needs. But your heart, you know what's a need, and you know what's not. And God wants to take care of that stuff, right? He wants you to keep him first. He wants you to seek him first, to put his word first in your life, and then he'll take care of the rest. He sets it up so that it's super easy for us, right? But we just have to do that bit to keep him first. He is the one who will supply as long as we do that.